There we go. So, Director Forslund, has anybody talked to you about putting on an informational meeting for the session during the session? Has Charlie talked to you about that, or?
Senator Nicholas, no, other than you have mentioned it, and Senator Bebout has mentioned it. But nothing is scheduled, nothing is definitive at this point.
Well, I think we should probably put on a we'll talk about management council, I suppose. That'd be a good topic for management council. But the and then we'll work with you to put on a discussion for the entire legislature in one of the big conference rooms over in the Hersler building. And then part of what we might want to do is, and I think Eli's suggestion is that we try to figure out how to reduce some of this information to a couple fact sheets, and which I don't know you can do, but now I like this presentation, but some of the other issues, maybe trying to get sort of the pros and cons down to several sheets.
Senator Nicholas, I provide you with a two-pager, and I would welcome any feedback on that, because we knew that everyone wouldn't read the large report. Everyone probably wouldn't even look through the PowerPoint. So we tried to generate just a two-page summary of all this material. So didn't want to go to an attachment or a third page, just wanted one sheet front and back, and that's what we developed for your all consideration.
Work with you on that. And then what were the things that you wanted to cover before we go to the budget?
Okay. The what we call the alternate budget proposal, or a big, hairy, audacious goal. The governor had challenged me back when we were going through the review of the budget cuts for 14 as well as 15-16. And he asked if our department could live with flat funding if we excluded Medicaid for 4 years. And I said, let me take a look at, let me talk to my senior staff and get back to you. We as a staff looked at it and said, we think we can not only live with flat funding, we think we can do for the programs other than Medicaid, we think we can include Medicaid as well as reduce the waiting list for the developmentally disabled and commit to a flat and a minimum 4 years of our budget, because I know the legislature has certainly expressed its concern, the fact that the Department of Health's budget, I think you mentioned on Monday, is 28% of the state budget, and how can you do something to control the costs of, in effect, the largest budget. And so we felt that we would throw something out for discussion. I took it back to the governor and went through it, and now I'm sharing it with you folks today. And essentially, it's a concept that if you want us to, we can live at a minimum of 4 years flat funding with certain caveats. And we have a list of those caveats in the handout that I gave to you today. What we're saying is, in effect, if we can do the expansion and generate the savings, if we can implement the Medicaid options recommendations that we developed for the Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee this summer, if you allow us to manage our budget and allow us to operate it in a way that encourages savings as opposed to incentivizing spending, we think that we can live with a flat budget for a minimum of 4 years. And it is a concept. It would be some changes from what the legislature is used to do. We can continue to live with the traditional way of just coming over every session and asking for increases. And you kind of, you know, we can ask for more than we really need, and you can beat us back a ways, and we end up with money and then spend it. Or we can say, let's relook at the way we handle our spending for our largest state department in terms of expending, and give it a try. Let's do a pilot project or a test and see if it would work. And so the term that they've used at the local government basis is called expenditure control budgeting, ECB. And essentially it incentivizes operations to save money as opposed to spending money. And so we have thrown it out for at least your consideration. And we're not talking about not doing the 14% or the 4% cuts in 14. We're talking about starting in 15 and 16 this next year. However, for this to work, one of the caveats is we need to do the expansion. If we don't do the expansion, then it throws off some of our projections. And but it's something for you to chew on, and a different way to look at a department. And we're, as a staff, willing to give it a try and see if we can't not only do the four, but beyond that. But it just depends on a lot of unknowns in terms of the economy and et cetera that's out there. But with those things controlled, you know, we think we can manage to that number.
You know, we've got a management council meeting today. Maybe we ought to bring this up and see whether it's JAC or whether the leadership wants to move these forwards. You gave to our staff a spreadsheet this morning with the legislation that needs to be addressed to going forward to the next biennium. And our staff wants to work on that some before it hits prime time. Dave Gruber's got it. We'll work with that. But what it is just a spreadsheet of each of these statutes that need to be addressed. And a couple of them hit areas where our chairs of the Labor Committee are going to have some strong feelings, and we need to make sure we're rolling it out and if, with their participation or at least their knowledge. So we'll work on that. With this one, Director Forsman, I guess what I'd like you to do is maybe do an alternative budget proposal 1 and 2, 1 with the expansion and without the expansion, and kind of give us if this is with the expansion, then what can you provide us a sort of a list of things you need if you're going to try to do the same things without the expansion?
Mr. Chairman, we'll take a look at that.
And then we'll talk to management council, but in any event, I think that we do want to make sure that regardless of whether we do the expansion or not, these expenditure control budgeting items, we'd like to implement some of those. And the ones that you've identified in your budget message, they're identified in the governor's budget message. He's got a lot of these things were put into his budget message. And so we'll make sure that we're, one way or the other, we're walking down the same path and that we're giving you clear direction on where to go. And I think we do want to see two-tier waiver programs and some of giving you capacity to eliminate waiting or to reduce the benefits for those that don't need full benefits, things like that. So we'll move down a pathway of which where we end up is we better have some alternatives, though. And it may be that you say, well, I can, if you don't take the Medicaid option, then, you know, maybe we're talking about 3 or 4%, but whatever, I'm certain that if we do your expenditure control budgeting, we can do better than we're going to do if we don't do it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we will be happy to do that, and you know, we as an agency can play the traditional budget game, dance, or whatever you want to call it, or we can say, let us manage to a number and give us the flexibility, and we say we'll do that for you, for the state.
So I think maybe what we do is we may have joint meeting where we just with JAC and labor during the session in the evening, or may just do one with open up to everybody in the legislature or both. But there's a lot of big decisions to be made. We want to make sure everybody's getting the information they need to make those. So did you want to go? Anybody want to ask questions about the alternative budget proposal? This is with Medicaid expansion. Go ahead.
I just have one, need a clarification of an acronym and maybe a teeny bit of explanation on the last bullet point. I don't know what PRTF stands for or exactly what you're saying there.
Madam Chairman, Representative Wallace, that is psychiatric residential treatment facilities. And just real briefly, what the issue is that if a child is sentenced or sent to a PRTF through a normal process and it's medical-based decision, then Medicaid will pay half the cost. The state general fund will pay half the cost. If, however, there is language in the judge's order that specifies that this child shall be sent to a particular facility, then the federal government views that as a sentence to a basically incarceration, and they say they don't pay for incarcerations, so consequently the state has to pay 100% of that cost. That number has been increasing each year in the last few years because of these orders, and the Medicaid program is having to absorb those costs with no budget for it.
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Tom, the question I would have in looking at this proposal, and obviously, you know, there are a lot of things that make a lot of sense, some that people may not want to do. But in terms of just facilitating and moving it forward, and maybe a question to you too, Mr. Chairman, is how do we, the ones that we want to move forward, is that going to be the Labor Committee that's going to do it? And we're getting short time now, and a lot of these need to be addressed, I think, during this upcoming session. Are there some of them going to be the JAC? What have you got in mind when we try to do some of this proposed legislation?
What we had in mind in the budget last year was we put a requirement for a super committee, and for a variety of reasons that I can't explain, the super committee, which have been some of the JAC and some of the labor committee, were to answer those questions. Co-chairs were on that committee, and we were never advised there is any such meetings or invited. So I think that's a good question. I intended to bring that up in Management Council today and get some authority for the Appropriations Committee to at least direct legislation, and maybe legislation that we say, let's pick up the labor bill and add some things to it so we've got a full package going forward. Otherwise, if the Labor Committee doesn't want to do it, then I think leadership needs to just say, okay, here's an omnibus bill to implement all these, and so we've got it teed up, because my sense of it is that the Labor Committee has rejected some of these things, and I assume that they've kind of limited what the options are. I don't know that that's a good solution.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Dan's here, and he's on the Labor Committee. Maybe I know it's quick. Have you had a chance to look at this and see how many of these you might be dealing with on the Labor Committee?
You know, my hope is that we'd do an omnibus bill that would employ deploy everything that's here and the things that are all in the governor's message, whether people agree or disagree, and then at least the platform is there for the session. And as opposed to saying, well, we're only prepared to take one or two of these tasks on, but and I think there is a bill. Is there a bill out there to actually implement the waiver, or to do the waiver expansion too? So the bill's actually been drafted. So I assume somebody will push that forward, even if the committee doesn't sponsor it. So we just need to make sure we've got language in a bill with a topic that's broad enough to pick up all these concepts. So we need to talk about that, and we might as well talk to the Management Council a little bit. All right, so we'll be working on that some more. We're going to hear from you some more. Did you go over this sheet?
No.
That's a good time. Let's go ahead and this seems to be a good – is this a good jumping-off point to get into the budget?
Yes.
Okay. So we're looking at sheet number 38, handout 38 for Agency 48.
Mr. Chairman, what this sheet shows, again, is the fiscal year 14 budget. And just to recap, is you divided our budget into two separate fiscal years, fiscal year 13 and fiscal year 14. Fiscal year 14, you've already decreased the department's overall budget. And this simply shows how we reallocated or allocated those reductions. So, as an example, out of Medicaid, we're taking $7.3 million out of the Medicaid program, with the understanding that we're also taking a corresponding $7.3 million in federal Medicaid match. So that's about $14.5 million is coming out of Medicaid, and it goes on down the list. Again, you have, as a legislature, already done this. There's no more action that needs to be taken in terms of reductions. The only change would be is if you don't like the reductions, you would need to add back money, but the money is gone. This has caused a lot of confusion throughout this last year because people were thinking our cuts were part of what all the other agencies were asked to submit, and all the other agencies are submitting proposed cuts for 14. We have already taken that cut. So this sheet here is simply a listing of what we did in terms of reallocating those cuts. Down at the bottom, that's just additional cuts that we will have to take. And unfunded emergency detention costs, we estimate we'll have about $5.2 million. Hopefully it won't be that large. But we have to absorb that on top of the $19 million in cuts, as well as then the DD waiting list. The legislature appropriated $1.5 million in general funds and $1.5 million in federal matching funds, or $3 million, to reduce the waiting list for DD, acquired brain injury folks. The problem is the wording in the legislation stated this money shall be expended in fiscal year 13. And so we were faced with the situation that if we took people off the waiting list, $3 million worth of them, and implemented it in 13, when we got to 14, there is no funding for 14. So we would have to dump those people, or, you know, in theory, off the Medicaid waiver program. Legally, we can't do that. So in order to fund that, we would have to cut an additional 1.5 in general funds somewhere else in the budget. So after consultation with the governor, we elected to embargo those funds and just not expend them, and instead come back to the legislature and said, if you really want us to reduce the waiting list, you need to provide funding for both fiscal years, just not one of them. And so we put the request in the budget. The governor has recommended denial of that, but wanted at least have it before you. Again, you put specific language in it that says it shall be expended in fiscal year 13. And that gave me no flexibility to cut it in half or try to deal with it that way. And so we just elected simply to freeze that money, and we called embargoing it. So this is the overall summary. Now, what we did is we reallocated the money throughout the budget to reflect at this. And so you see lots of changes through our budget. But it's net zero. We're just reallocating it per legislative direction. You told us we had a year in which to move that money around and determine where best to do it. We've done that, and that's before you. And we can go through every single line item, but essentially it comes down to this list right here, and this is what we've done.
Let me calculate one item first. So I know what I'm doing. All right. So a couple points. First of all, the Appropriations Committee, I think our role and the chair's role is always that we are the implementers of budgets that pass. And regardless of what our view is, once a budget is passed, an item has hit the floor, and it's not my job to say, well, I didn't like the outcome, and go to the executive branch and say, let's do a little Irish justice out here, and don't do what's there. If an amendment hits the floor, whether I agree or any person in the appropriations agrees or disagree, part of what we do is insist that agencies follow the budget as it's passed. That becomes the law, and our job is to do it. Otherwise, you end up with a pretty weak Appropriations Committee. So we did run into this issue where last year you had the situation where in the budget compromise, we did put 1 year funding for the wait list. We knew it was only 1 year. At the same time, we had ratcheted the department down by 4% approximately. We fixed and locked in their appropriation, and we said the next biennium you have to come back with a lower number. And Director Forslund did go to his boss, the governor, and said those two things, expanding the program and trying to hit the mandatory targets, are inconsistent. I can't do both. And the governor did contact the chairs and said, I'm inclined to embargo these monies and not implement that. And typically the policy would be, hey, that amendment got passed. There was an expectation there would be a reduction of the waiver list. And your job as the executive branch is to implement the legislature branch. In this instance, given the magnitude of the conflict of expanding at the same time contracting, the chairs indicated to the governor that we would support his decision. And that is a departure of what our job is, and we recognize that. But it's a difficult situation, so the heads up, we were consulted with the decision, and we said we would not criticize the decision on the executive branch not to implement it. Having said that, if other executive branches in general, if they say we didn't like the appropriation, we're not going to implement it, or we're going to implement it differently, we're generally the first to say no. The budget is what you're to do. The executive branch's job is to implement and spend the money. Our job is to pass a law. So we hit a conflict. We made a judgment call. It was a departure from what we would generally do, and we did. Now, going back to the budget issue with respect to the blue sheet, when I take the column 1, the 476, 780, 732, and I deduct the $19 million, I come up with about $457 million, plus or minus. Then when I go to the front, the front page was on the budget is page 4. So page 4 of the budget is the agency summary of your entire appropriation, and the general fund expenditure there is $456. So it's within about $1 million. So in theory, is it correct to assume that within a few $1,000 or so that your blue sheet, when this column is reconciled with this column, that's the starting number that should look approximate the general fund number in column 2 on page 4?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Okay. And so going back to Brett's point, column 2 is the budget bill was constructed off of analysis that came off of this type of analysis. Is that your understanding, Brett?
Mr. Chairman, it is. I think the disconnect that you see between their single page and the B sheet in their agency budget is $750,000, which is one half of that $1.5 million. The $1.5 million that was provided for the DD waiver list.
All right. So you take off the one half of the DD waiver, $750. So if you take column A minus that minus another $750, we should get the exact number. I'll do the math here in a minute.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's within $2 or $3, which I assume is some rounding issues potentially.
So is everybody up to speed? Everybody know where we're starting from? We're starting from this sheet, which is used to build column 2, which is a single year appropriation, and you match the handout to the general fund component. Everybody with us? All right. With that in mind, Director, rather than go through every expense organization to talk about this, let's move through the budget. And, well, let's just talk about generally the supplemental request, some of which were approved by the governor. So let's generically talk about column 5 and 6 on page 4 of the budget. And if you just give us a generic description of what's going on there, I assume that this is the woodwork expansion.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Just before we start that, just back to this sheet 038, the only thing that you subtracted out for the Medicaid portion of it was a WLRC. When you get from the 497 to the 476, so then I'm to assume that all the other numbers up here, the Medicaid was not included, and I'm just curious why the WLRC was included in the $30 million, and then you take it out below where the others were not. Is there a reason why you did that?
Go ahead and explain it.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bebout, what we want to do, we want to make sure that we didn't lose track of the cost to operate the Wyoming Life Resource Center. And the best way to show that was to
100%.
Show the full funding for 1 year and then deduct out the Medicaid match below.
Okay, thank you.
And, Mr. Chairman, Senator Bebout, that is not a cut to their operations.
No, I know that.
Okay. All right. So, incidentally, I do the math, and that's correct. If you take column 1, you deduct the $19 million, you deduct the $750,000, which was one half of the expansion, which was embargoed and not used, you end up with it may be exactly that number. So that's how we get there. So that's how we. So this is the sheet, and I think when you're doing your budget, what you may end up doing is, on your markup, Mr. Chairman, you may want to essentially, the Gov's Reg, just start off with this, approve it, and then go through the budget items with respect to the supplemental requests, and only deal with the supplemental requests. And Don, you'll have to think that out as to whether it works that way.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it does. I think that's the most efficient process for the committee to resolve this. We have asked for some additional information beyond this one page, and let me just give you an example. If a member on the floor wishes to restore a cut, we don't have the information on this one-page sheet of exactly how to do that. So, for example, there are 9 positions being cut at the Wyoming Life Resource Center up in Lander. If someone wanted to replace, say, 5 of them, we need additional information to prepare an amendment that would do that.
You're asking for a breakdown of this to the expense organization level.
Mr. Chairman, yes, and we have it for the expense org. We're asking for the personnel as well.
Okay, well, suppose let's do this then for markup. When you get that expense organization, it shouldn't be that, it should just be probably a dozen spreadsheets. Because all you're going to be looking for is the spreadsheet by unit number, right?
Mr. Chairman, it turns out it's a little longer than that. Each one of these line items has its supporting spreadsheet. So it's,
okay.
It's about 100 pages.
Well, what I was thinking about is if you get the expense organization sheets that match this, staple them to this, then what you could do is then the motion on the floor would be governor's rec as the starting point. The vote is all those in favor say aye, all those opposed there. So then you start this as the starting point. Then what you could do is members could identify which expense organization sheets they want to go to and then do the modification. I move to alter the Gov's Rec by this, and then you would go through separately, and each one of the – you'll be looking at column 6. And the motion on the floor is Gov's Rec with respect to the 17.3. Any changes? Yes or no? All those in favor, aye. Next one is motion is Gov's Rec with respect to 2.5. Any changes? And you could just almost work off of page 4 for this agency, which would be a little bit different, but it'll get you there. So you'll put those sheets here as a package so the committee's got it, and the package is primarily for those members who want to go into the embedded numbers on the expense organizations and if they want to add life care positions back. So you'll get there. So, yes. Yeah, actually, maybe the guys in Riverton don't care. It's just Lander. Yeah, well, you know, it's the only good news is he wasn't here when poor old Ruby was crying losing some money over in Riverton. He's got to take all of Representative Phillips' burdens and carry them. Okay, so with that in mind, I think for the is this a good time then for you to go through the supplemental request?
Mr. Chairman, if you look at page 7, maybe that will be... Okay, the first item is the woodwork effect, which we talked about before, and this is, again, matching the numbers that you've seen this morning and with the federal and state funds. That is a required dollar amount that is necessary to meet the implementation of the ACA, which begins on January 1st of 14. So we have 6 months' worth of expenditures during this fiscal year, next fiscal year. The next one is the Medicaid Management Information System, or the MMIS. If you recall, Mr. Chairman, we talked about this last year, and I talked about the antiquated systems that we have in the Medicaid program, and you at that point said, well, what are you doing to address it? And I told you at the time, as we had funding in request for a new eligibility system, which has to be in place by October of this year in order to implement the ACA starting January 1st, that system has been acquired, and we are moving towards implementation. The second portion now is the MMIS system, and what that is essentially is the backbone. This is the system that actually pays for the pays the vendors or the providers their claims. And for us to get a new MMIS system, we have to go through a planning, or federally required planning process first. And we estimate that's going to cost $3 million. And this, again, is a requirement of the CMS. They pay 90% of the cost. So essentially, we have to come up with $300,000 of the $3 million cost. Just for your information, a new MMIS system is going to probably cost somewhere between $75 to $100 million. And again, the federal government pays 90% of the cost of the system. And so we'll have a better idea. Hopefully it would be less expensive, but at this point in time, we'll go through the planning process and we'll come up with a proposal for at least the federal government to take a look at, and then the legislature to look at to see if you wish to fund that. Thirdly is increase.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question. Are these considered one-time? Could they be considered one-time cost? Once you get the system up and running, then there's no more ongoing cost, and this is just for hardware? Or is this something that you're going to want in the standard budget the next go-around?
Madam Chairman, Senator Bebout, the cost of the system is a one-time cost. The cost of operations is going to continue indefinitely. The federal government pays 75% ongoing for the operations. The state pays 25%. We have that already in our budgets to pay for the existing MMIS system, which is antiquated. So the new system, we don't know exactly how much that's going to cost on an ongoing basis. That's part of this planning document, is to help us determine that. But again, ongoing operation costs, CMS pays 75% of that. The next one is increased general fund for foster care. And this is what I was talking to you before about with the PRTFs. Psychiatric residential treatment facilities, and this is an estimate of the $4.1 million in general funds for a biennium. And so our request was to have this implemented immediately upon approval, and so we could have half of it in fiscal year 13 and half of it in fiscal year 14. Our current fiscal year 13 costs are running higher. We estimate they're going to be higher than this dollar amount for fiscal year 13. Again, this is due to the language that is being put into the court orders. The joint labor is looking at that and trying to resolve it. I think you've had some discussions on it. We as an agency are simply the bank. All we do is write the checks. We really don't deal with placements and the courts and such. We just simply write the checks, and the checks are getting larger, and we have wanted to try to bring it to your all's attention and ask for the funding. The governor has recommended denial on that and trying to work through it to get it resolved so we don't have this expense. The next one is authorization of fee revenue. This is for the lab. And the language in the budget, essentially, is we have the authority to raise fees. We don't have the authority to spend it. So consequently, we raise fees, generate more revenue, and then we just sit on the money until we can come to you and ask you to appropriate it. And this pays for equipment and pays for basically a portion of the cost, small, but it's a portion of the cost of the state lab. The next one is vaccine costs. This is we requested funds last session. Legislature elected not to fund it. We've dropped some vaccines. We're coming back and making a request. If this is turned down, we're going to be dropping another vaccine, and we'll have to be doing that sometime this early next year, if because of we have to place orders and money is rapidly running out in this area. So if we don't get funding, then we will anticipate dropping one more vaccine. Next thing is the Aging Resource Disability Center, or AGDR, or ARDC. You've heard that acronym. This is basically a placement service that you funded for 1 year. It helps essentially the aged primarily find alternatives to nursing home care. And it's a helpline, and this has been contracted out. And you provide funding for 1 year of fiscal year 13, and you were we were asked to bring it back, request for 14, and present the data on the success of the program. We have presented that to the appropriate committees. Next one is the DD waiting list, which we talked about. Again, this is what Chairman Nicholas was mentioning. Again, this would be the second year of funding. So if, in fact, the legislature funded the second year, then we would release funding for the first year before the end of the fiscal year, and then have money for the second year. If you elect not to fund the second year, then we won't release the money in the first year, if that makes sense. The next one is the external cost adjustment for new children for preschool. If you recall, we are required to do a preschool population count on November 1st of each year. We have to submit our budgets to the budget office and to the governor before we even know what the count is. So we never know with the number that's put in the budget whether it's going to be too high, too low, but we do our best guess. The count came in, and based on the lack of growth in the count, we don't need this money. So essentially this $1,022,000 could be deleted from our expansion or supplemental request.
On that, then, with respect to that item, Brett, will you communicate that to the governor, and then Brett, will you make a see whether the governor wants to do a governor's letter to delete that from the Gov's recs?
I will do so.
Okay, so if the governor agrees, it'll be easier to move forward if the governor's rec deletes that item. Okay, so you'll both check on that and give us, if the governor does not want it deleted, then you'll let us know that too.
And, Mr. Chairman, last but not least, this is the expansion group, and so this is the placeholder for that. So that is the nine supplemental requests that the department submitted.
Okay, so then here's my suggestion then for the co-chairs and for Don. If you take the general fund, which is $16,192,931, and you deduct the $1.5 million, which was denied by the governor, and the $4.1 million that was denied by the governor, you come up with $10,592,934, and that matches over on page four the general fund amount that's recommended by the governor. So it might be easier then, as Don, is to take this sheet, the equivalent of this page 7, and where you have the governor's rec, make it into two columns, one for general fund and one for federal funds, so you can see the distinction, and then work off that for your markup. So on markup, you'd really have two sheets. You would have the blue sheet that we went over, and then this sheet, and that would cover all the Gov's recs. And then individual members would go into other areas. Essentially, it's almost like the remark. If you go in and say, well, let's open up this item for change. Brett?
Mr. Chairman, just a couple of other reminders for you. I would remind you that on the governor's fiscal profile, he also recommended the reduction of the $1.5 million in 2013 associated with reduction of the DD waiver waiting list, which isn't reflected necessarily in what was just reviewed. And
was that in the governor's letter or was just in his governor's message?
Now let me check on that real quick.
Well, you don't have to resolve
It's definitely on the fiscal profile, but if you would like it addressed in the same letter associated.
Well, it was just a reminder to you, and that is you've got a couple things that are in the governor's message for which there's no governor's request because they did not make it into an individual budget item.
Mr. Chairman, the preparation of governor's letters is well underway associated with all of those items.
All right. Well, then why don't you clear up this topic with Dawn so that this spreadsheet then reflects the governor's recs, and if they're not included in here, then you'll add it to your letter. Okay? Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, just a reminder that that particular $1.5 million is in the 48A appropriation, so it's
right.
In the 13 as opposed to the 14.
Well, I assume that's what's covered in the 750 that we deducted.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so that would be, well, I tell you what you need to do is on this sheet, pick it up from these folks and add the 750 so that this number ties out to your budget page. So you'll do a modified spreadsheet here to pick up your 750. You'll make sure that the governor's got a recommendation to that effect. So the first vote will include the 750 as part of approving the Gov's rec, okay? So essentially the governor is saying we want to unring the bell on the 1.5, and that's your starting point. Then the next group of votes will be based upon this spreadsheet to be developed. And you're going to have, Mr. Chairman, essentially two votes, one on this spreadsheet on this. That'll take care of the whole health. And then you'll go into debating the Medicaid expansion and any adjustments. So you'll essentially have adopted my suggestion to you, adopt the governor's recs in two different documents, then provide each member the opportunity to go through any individual expense organization and make a motion to amend by either adding in the expansion monies, or you could go to the life care budget and ask, you would do that on one. So essentially a member would say, I move to open up expense organization sheet X to add in $50 million. And you won't have the burden then of going through this budget document, which isn't going to make sense. Don?
Mr. Chairman, I would add one more vote to that combination of two and a third vote on the $1.3 million in the IT transfers.
Okay, that'd be great. So, in fact, Don, why don't you essentially prepare each of the votes in a summary sheet, and that will get you to the Gov's recs. And then from there, you'll go and talk about the individual items. So then members, what you'll do then, I mean, traditionally you go through each page, stop to see if you want to make a motion. This will require members that want to make a motion to go to the pages, flag the ones where they want a motion, and ask to open it up to add. But it'll be a lot easier for you. It'll make more sense for you, I think, for this budget, given where we are. Co-chair, does that make sense?
Mr. Chairman, could I make a comment?
Yep.
On page 34 of the budget, it does address the $1.5 million that you've asked Mr. Jones to write a letter about, and I'm not sure if it doesn't state in there that it'll be removed. And then the other question is, we're subtracting like $750,000 and not the whole $1.5 million, and I think there's some issue about that being in the previous year.
Well, let me when this sheet gets built up, Don's going to actually have to put the federal dollar side on it, too, to make sure your book. So you're going to have to take this sheet and put federal dollars in it, because you have to adopt the Gov's rec with respect to not only the general fund but the federal fund. So this sheet's going to have to be altered. Bob, you can help essentially recreate this sheet with federal funds in it. So you may actually have to have two columns for each, and then a summary, and then do the 750. Now, I know you know exactly what to do, what we're talking about, but it needs to reflect the federal dollars, too. And that's true for, and that's why in the second sheet, you're going to have to break down the Gov's recs into federal and state. Brett?
Mr. Chairman, just one other item. On the bottom of page 7, I will note there's also a governor's recommendation related to a footnote allowing any unexpended funds in 48A, the 2013 fiscal year, to transfer to 48B, the 2014 fiscal year.
Okay, so then Don's going to just create the series of motions, just add that, the acceptance of that, onto one of your lists so that you've got the chairs have a list and you'll just work through the list and make sure that list is comprehensive to get to the bottom line Gov's recs. From there, the members will go to anything they would like to change. Make sense? All right, if that makes sense, I think that'll make your job easier. And let's just sort of wrap it up. Any questions of these folks that are here? Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a question I was going to ask the governor, but we decided to defer it to. On early childhood intervention, the preschools, the governor's letter says that Department of Health has proposed and I recommend a $1.4 million in program reductions achievable through modifications to the program that allow Wyoming to continue to provide unparalleled services. I'm at a loss to know how you determine that and what those are. I'd like to understand that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hastert, we're talking about two different things. One is we're going through the cuts, required cuts for 14. So each of the preschools will be taking a 4% reduction on their per child amount that they will be getting. So that's the reduction side of it. In terms of the overall administration of the program, we'll be looking at that over the course of the next year in determining if there is some better ways to, in the monitoring and the operations of the preschools and determination of who's in need of care and the level of care that they're receiving. So there was a discussion in the document that we presented to you last month about the preschools and their budget and the differences in counties or regions, I should say, around the state in terms of children who have been identified as in need. And there's significant difference in regions in terms of the number of children who have been identified as needing assistance we'll call it assistance. And the question is that legitimate in terms of all cases, or are some facilities looking maybe are over generous or easier in terms of identifying children in need versus other regions? So trying to get some consistency between regions. So that would be an example of what we're hoping to do. We've had some preliminary discussions with some of the providers, and we will continue to have it in the course of the next year. We've made changes at the staff in the department, and we're going to try to approach it on a hard numbers basis as opposed to subjective criteria.
So the 1.4 you're saying is the 4% cut across the board for all the preschool programs, and then the on your page 7 is an additional by statute the amount that is required to for a per child count.
Yeah, the funding for preschools is made up of two items. One is the count, how many kids are being served. The second component is how much does the state pay on a per kid basis. So what we have in there is the estimated number of kids in need when we had to develop that budget back last summer. And so that's what we've come in and said. The child count that took place November 1st did not increase like we expected, so we don't need that amount. The other part of it is on a per child dollar amount, that is being decreased by 4% to come in compliance with the cuts that the department took for 2014.
Okay, other questions? Sue?
Related to that same topic, you noted that November 1st kid count doesn't give you time. You know, you're not able to provide accurate. So is that going to require a statutory change in order to change that date to a time when that does make sense?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wallace, that's in statute. And it used to be twice a year count, and I think they averaged it. The statute was changed some time ago to say it shall be November 1st. So one of the, you know, in a broader sense, I think this program should be looked at kind of comprehensive. And, you know, should we be paying the same amount for every child, or should it be some type of basis of the acuity of the needs of the children? Right now, a person who needs minor speech therapy versus somebody who needs intensive treatment is they get paid exactly the same. Secondly, is it's one count a year, and throughout the course of a year, you could have fluctuations in number of children being served. So, does it make sense to pay a standard amount year round when the count fluctuates? So it, again, it's almost a block grant mentality versus a fee for service model. And I'm not proposing this point going to a fee-for-service model for this program, but I think the program needs to be looked at. But there's some very passionate people who are, you know, deal with this both in the communities and within the legislature, and they're, you know, they like the program as it is right now. So we've identified there are some issues, and we'd like to work on it, but that's not going to be universally well received.
Other questions? Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Forslund, on the DD waiting list, I assume the $1.5 million we appropriated last year had a matching federal component as well?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stewart, that's correct. You appropriated $3 million last year, $1.5 in general funds, $1.5 in federal funds.
Thank you, Tom. So then, if this with this request you made this year, you would have then had at your disposal $6 million, perhaps, to reduce the waiting list. Now, I guess my question is, how necessary is that amount of money for you to live up to your expectations made in your proposal to reduce or eliminate the DD waiting list? Do you need that money to accomplish those goals, Director, or can you accomplish that goal, those expectations, without these dollars?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stewart, It's a timing issue, and the situation is if the legislature wants the waiting list reduced quickly, then you need to appropriate the money. What we have found ourselves in to is due to the design of our waiver program, we have built a what I'll term as a Cadillac system. It's a very high-cost system. So you have people who receive no care or no assistance or receive a very high-level expensive care. There is nothing in between. So based on the acuity of the client, you don't need the same level of funding, the same system in place. What we proposed to the to the Joint Labor Committee is to dump the existing waivers and go to, in effect, a two-tier waiver. And for those clients that are in the greatest need, have the greatest needs, they should have a Cadillac system. And that's probably a derogatory term, and I don't mean that to be. Just inexpensive. They are our most vulnerable citizens, and they need a high level of care. But it's a relatively small number. Then the next grouping is what we have is called a support waiver. And then we look at the client and we say, this is the level of services you need, and we appropriate money, and there would be a cap on that. And that's all they would be eligible for, and be more of a picking and choosing of their the parents and or their guardian would say, you know, this is what this client needs the most. And so it's more customized and it's lower cost. So we feel that if we can get to a two-tier waiver, we can serve more people with the money that we already have in the system. But this change does not happen overnight. So it's going to take us some years to get through because, first of all, we have to design a new system. And then we have to get CMS to approve it. We've got to get, as the bill is drafted, we're going to have to get legislative approval. And as the bill is drafted now, as I interpret it, we won't be able to make a formal request for the change to CMS until fiscal year 15. Calendar year 15. And hopefully that's not going to be that far out. Hopefully with the committee working it tomorrow, we can squeeze it down and start to move that way quicker. But if you, as a legislator or legislature, says, Forsland, we need that waiting list reduced and we need it reduced today, you need to give us that additional $3 million. And we can lower it. But you're putting those additional people onto a high-cost system as it's designed today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's good. A good answer.
Any other questions?
That.
Good. Okay. So here's my list then, Director Forsland.
Mr. Chairman.
Ken?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a question, but I got another request with the department.
Okay. What is it?
So something, Director Forsman, that I've been kind of looking at is how our Medicaid births have been increasing. And I was wondering if you could get me maybe a bar chart that would go back to, say, 2008 and would show a percentage of births in the state of Wyoming that were Medicaid births, how many of those births were low-weight premature births, and how many of those babies needed out-of-state services, and what the cost of those services were.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Escobel, I think we can do that relatively easy. I think, but this is the type of question that gets asked, and legislators say, you know, generate the information. We have to get it out of the MMIS system, of which that MMI system is antiquated. So you would think we should be able to pull it relatively quickly. We can't, but we'll get that. We can do it, but if you will give us money for getting a new system, we get that implemented, we can do this much quicker and move forward.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, along those lines, the other thing was, of those Medicaid births, how many of those women actually received prenatal care benefits? So one of the things that I'm noticing from our state compared to other states nationally is that our low birth weight and Medicaid births are going up, but our prenatal care benefits are going down. So we're paying less up front, but more on the back end. So trying to work at maybe a Healthy Babies initiative or something like that in the state.
Okay. Anything else on your list? We're late for a management council. We need to start at 2. So we've got some things to do. I've got, with respect to the I call alternative A and alternative B, that's with and without expansion. That's the letter with the items. Also the development of a spreadsheet with legislative changes that's already begun. So that's alternative A, alternative B list. We've got a list of items for our database. Hopefully we'll populate that database of existing materials before everybody gets going on their Christmas vacations, say the next week, so that people can download them and read them while they're traveling or on Christmas Day when they got nothing else to do. And and then, Director, you're going to give us a reading list and a suggestion of what some of the higher things you think we ought to read. You've got Senator Meyer's questions, if you can decipher it. And you've got Representative Esquivel's questions. You've got we needed to set up an information night for during the session. My suggestion is that night would occur before your markup and before callbacks, and so that you'd have an evening that and you'd build that into your schedule so the JAC members could go to that, and then staff should let you know what the callback date is, and you should be prepared to come back on callback if there are questions, whatever that date is.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, the legislative meeting briefing, I assume your staff or somebody will be setting that up. And
they'll be coordinated
just
with
notify
you.
Me.
Yeah, it'll be coordinated with you and the Labor Committee, and so there'll be a bunch of coordinating. We've got to get the room set up. Most likely it'll be your show to put on, and we'll talk to you about it then. But then after, my thought is that you would do that, and then this committee would have the opportunity for a callback to ask you questions just for them. Then you're going to have the spreadsheets for the final vote with a list of questions and a hierarchy to be voted on. And I think that covers my list of things to do to get you prepared for markup. Director, thank you, and all the staff, thank you. He's gotten better at this. He didn't really need you. I didn't see him turn around and ask for the experts, but you've done a good job commanding this information. Thank you for all being here. Sure.